Good evening and welcome to Block Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Block Talk Radio, brought to you by International Mastermind Association. My name is Monet Turner, and I will be hosting today's call. With us is Mrs. Dickens, who is a full-time attorney at the City of Miami Gardens and is licensed to practice in all of the state courts of Florida and in the Southern District of Florida. Mrs. Dickens, would you like to give us further details about exactly what it is that you do? There seems to be some problems. Okay. Well, good evening again, and welcome to the Block Talk Radio. It is brought to you by International Mastermind Association. My name is Monet Turner, and I'll be hosting today's call. With us is Mrs. Dickens, who is a full-time attorney at the City of Miami Gardens and is licensed to practice in all of the state courts of Florida and in the Southern District of Florida. Mrs. Dickens, would you like to give us further details about exactly what it is that you do? Mrs. Dickens, are you there?
Wait, she's here.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You can go ahead.
Hello.
Now.
Okay. As I was saying, I provide legal advice to various divisions and departments of the city, including preparing contracts, litigation, negotiations, and also preparing their ordinances and resolutions.
Okay. So one of the questions that I would like to ask is, what made you interested in being an attorney?
And being an attorney to begin with, I was impressed when I was around 11 years old with an article that I read in, I believe it was Ebony Magazine, about a black female attorney. And so that was the first time the career was introduced to me, although I hadn't had any contact with any attorneys. And then when I was in high school, we had a group of attorneys come and speak to us in high school, and I decided that, you know, I like to argue, negotiate, and think through problems, so I thought that that would be the career that would be best suited for me.
How do you balance life between being a mother, a wife, and attorney?
Well, that's an excellent question. And it's very difficult to do, but thankfully I have some support. I have a husband that helps me a lot, but it is a difficult choice. But I've made a decision that family, of course, comes before work. So I've had to balance that, but if there's a priority that has to be made, family first, then work second. But I've been fortunate in that I've been able to balance the two.
What college did you graduate from?
I attended undergraduate at Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia, and then I attended the University of Miami Law School in Miami.
What other types of law did you study, if you did study any other types?
That's a good question. Actually, in law school, you don't really study anything in particular, but what I think you probably mean what other law have I practiced. And when I first graduated from law school, I went to work for a small firm where I did litigation, probate, general law, and then I went to work for the City of West Palm Beach as an in-house city attorney. And in that position, I did planning and zoning and any number of administrative types of law. And then I went to another firm where, again, I did commercial litigation, and I also was doing municipal work, working for cities and working for people that had issues with cities. And then I did that up until 2 years ago when I went in-house to the city full-time.
What you say is one of the hardest jobs about being an attorney?
That's a very good question. One of the hardest jobs, of course, is if you put a lot of pressure on yourself because you want to get a good result for your client. So the stress of the job comes in with trying to get, you know, a good result and doing the best that you can. And that's it. You know, there's, of course, political pressures and any number of things given the position that I'm currently in. But the main thing is always trying to do the right thing for the client.
Okay. Thank you. Well, for me, I'm finished with asking my questions. So I would like to ask if there is anyone else that has questions that they would like to ask. Now is the time.
Hello, I can't hear. If somebody's asking me, I can't hear.
I can't hear.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey.
Oh, now I can
hear. Hi, Sonia.
Hi.
Hi. Yes, hello. Okay, my question is, if you had not become an attorney, what would have been your second career choice?
Wow, that's an excellent question because I never really thought about it until I was an attorney. But if I had my druthers at this point, I would be a stylist.
A stylist?
Yes, I would. If I could dress celebrities, tell them what to wear, tell them how to wear their hair, get them ready for events, that kind of thing. Not a hairstylist, like a clothing and fashion stylist is what I would do.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
A caller with that 0184 to have a question.
Hello?
Hello, yes, you're on.
Yes, this is Ann McNeil. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Hello, yes, you're on. Was there another question? While they are working on their questions, just a reminder, our annual International Mastermind meeting will be held January 6th and 7th at the Embassy Suites Hotel. To register or for further info, you can go to our website, which is internationalmastermindassociation.com.
Okay, let me see if I'm clicking you right.
I believe someone with the last 0184 has a question.
I have a question on
The last person was 0184. You can ask your question.
Hi, this is Ann McNeil. Can you hear me? I have a question.
I can.
My question is, what impact does your job have on your family?
That's a good question. Similar to what I answered previously, the job certainly does have some impact in that I'm required to attend night meetings and things, so it takes me away a bit from my son and my family. But I do have a good support system, and my husband and my best friend happens to live close to me. And so whenever I need to be away, fortunately, I have someone that can take care of my son. But as I mentioned earlier, family to me comes first. So if I have to err on the side of choosing family over work, it is family. But fortunately, I've not had to make that choice too many times.
Okay, now, thank you so much for that. Now, my next question is for the children that are listening and the youth that are listening to the radio show today. Are there any special classes or preparation kinds of ideas that you may want to share with them to help them understand if they would like to become an attorney or a lawyer? What kinds of things should they prepare to do?
Another good question. I would suggest always, of course, doing well and being strong in your English courses, political science courses, and also in any extracurricular activities that your school provides to you that allows you to interact with other professionals. I remember being in high school, and we had the Junior Association, some other groups that I became a part of where I was able to meet professionals. But as far as coursework, definitely English, because you need to be a strong reader and writer to practice law, and political science and history. Because those are the things that form the basis of our current government, and those are some of the main things that you learn in law school.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Law Talk Radio. Again, is sponsored by IMA, International Mastermind Association, and if there is any other questions, you can ask. Now is the time.
This is Ann McNeil again. Of course, I have a question since we are asking for questions. I was wondering if you have already read the book Think and Grow Rich, which is what we've used as a foundation for our organization.
No, I have not.
Really?
No, I have not read Think and Grow Rich, but I guess that's going to be my homework assignment.
Yes, and I'm sure your mom would love to work with you, give it to you as a Christmas gift. Right, Mom? Is Mom there?
Yes. Mom? You're laughing in the background.
Yes. Wouldn't you just love to gift that as a Christmas gift?
I certainly would.
Absolutely, yes. Well, the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill is what motivated us to do this Blog Talk radio show for the youth. And also every Saturday morning at 8 a.m., we are walking through the book. So our listening audience can join us every Saturday morning on the same Blog Talk radio show for Masterminders at 8 a.m. and join in the conversation. Any version of the book that you have, Think and Grow Rich, you're welcome to join us in that discussion, and you can go to the link and listen to past shows. But the book has created more millionaires than any other book written next to the book.
Wow.
It is a light, yes, ma'am, it's a life-changing book. As a matter of fact, you know, think about the impact it's had on your mom's life.
Right.
In the last, three years, Dr. Knighton?
3 years, yes.
3 years, in the last 3 years. All that she's done in just 3 years. So imagine if she'd had the book, been using it for the last 30 years.
Well, I need to get that book.
Yes, and I mean, just even Monet being able to do this show, and you know how shy Monet is.
Yes,
so just imagine the impact that this book has on kids. We have kids who, you know, I could go on for days talking about the youth of this organization, and we have some kids who have grown up in the organization. I was actually waiting on one of the callers, Chandra Scott. I'm not sure she's on listening on the radio. I'm not sure, but she is one of the youth that grew up in the organization before we officially called it the International Mastermind Association. From a teenager, she was using the principles, and now she's doing extremely well in her life as an adult with four children. So it is really, really life-changing principles. It's actually a personal development success philosophy is what it is.
Okay.
So I would strongly encourage you to read it, but not only read the book, also consider discussing with your family creating a family mission statement.
Okay.
Well, I definitely will read, and I will read and adhere to the principles.
Yes. See there, Betty? Now, Dr. Knight, do you have any questions?
I think I know some of the answers, but I just
but our listening audience don't know the answer to the question.
I think you were planning on going to Florida State or University of Florida somewhere.
That is a very good question. I really wasn't sure where I had planned on going, but I had applied to a number of schools, and I think I had gotten accepted to, like, Marquette University in Wisconsin. And at the time, my stepmother, who's on the phone now, Dr. Knighton, and my dad, I'm not sure if they were married yet, but they were dating. But in any event, she had two daughters, my sisters, who were older than I am, but they had already, of course, been looking at colleges and made some decisions about what they were going to do. But she kept on her bookshelf a number of college guides, and one of the guys that she had in her bookshelf was Spelman College. So I, you know, unfortunately, in the high school that I matriculated from, not much was said to us about historically black colleges. But once I got that guide that she had on her bookshelf about Spelman, and I started reading all about it, well, of course, I decided that was the place for me. And so, of course, it was the place for me. And so that is how I ended up learning about Spelman. I ultimately applied and got accepted, and that is where I graduated. I graduated from. So that's a story that I like to tell, that is really because of my stepmom that I ended up going to Spelman College.
Monet?
Yes.
Okay, do you have any other questions of your guests?
No, but I believe there's a question from someone else.
This is Ann McNeil again. You know, I always have a question.
Okay.
My question is, can you share with us a little bit about what the future of your city looks like in the next, you know, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years?
Well, that is a great question. And, you know, I can't really speak to what it would look like because I don't really control that. That's really left to the mayor and the council people. But I will say that the city of Miami Gardens is ever-growing, ever-changing. It has made great strides since 2003 when it was incorporated. The city has done a lot of things that people said couldn't be done. We are fiscally healthy. We have great employees that work for the city, many of whom came from other places but are really good in their respective fields. And so what I expect is that the city will continue to grow, continue to do the best for its residents, and no matter who is at the helm, because our current mayor will be term limited in August, and so we will have a new mayor in the next few months. But I expect that whoever that mayor is, that they will continue the vision that was started by the mayor and the original council people and those who've served since.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And what about the jazz festival that your city has?
Yes, the City of Miami Gardens hosts the Jazz in the Gardens event on an annual basis. We've had some great acts. We've had Gladys Knight, Charlie Wilson, Babyface, huge acts. And that is the third weekend in March. And unfortunately, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but the third week of March, Jazz in the Gardens, and it'll be held at Dolphin Stadium in the great city of Miami Gardens. And this year we have scheduled to appear. We have Jill Scott. We have Kenny G. We have Kim. We have Letticy, and there will be some other surprises.
And what's the date again, please?
I believe it's the 18th and the 19th. I don't have my calendar right in front of me, but the third weekend in March. Third Saturday and Sunday in March.
Okay.
There's another question?
Yes.
Go ahead.
What made you choose University of Miami over Howard?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, it's not that I chose Miami over Howard. I actually did not apply to Howard. And one of the reasons is because I did want to come home. I wanted to come home to be close to my family for a while. And I thought, actually, my plan was to go back to Atlanta. That has not happened, of course. But my thought was if I could come back home, spend some time at home, then I'd go back. Also, I had coming from Spelman, I felt very secure in the fact that I had my education at an HCBU, and I was prepared as a black woman to go into career mode. And so one of the things I did want to do was to diversify my education. And so University of Miami provided me with an opportunity to do that. And, of course, Spelman laid the strong foundation for me so that when I got there, you know, I wasn't lost in the shuffle. So those are the reasons why I chose to go to University of Miami.
Oh, okay.
So would you recommend for African American students in particular that they do that in that order, get a strong foundation from a HBCU or UNCF, a university or college, and then go on to a major majority university?
No, not necessarily. I mean, that's the choice that I made, but I think that you could certainly go HCBU, or you don't even have to go HCBU. I felt stronger that I would, and hopefully, I hope that my son will as well have an HCBU education. But I just made that choice for me because I felt like if I was going to come home, I wanted to come to the best school that I could come to home, which in South Florida, is University of Miami. But I also knew that I had been prepared enough by Spelman that I would be successful no matter where I chose to go. So I was confident that I would be able to matriculate, you know, successfully through my University of Miami.
Have you found the contacts after college in terms of staying in the local area has made a difference in your connections or network or in your profession in terms of, you know, having access at all?
Well, that's a very good question, and actually, yes. The first job that I got after law school was through a contact, a family friend. And so that has helped. And, of course, not so much as contacts with my family have I become successful. It's been more so contacts that I've made once I came back home with people and with professional organizations that has helped a lot. So I suggest the things that have helped me in my success as an attorney, most of those, the first job was someone who was a family friend. But after that, I had to become active in a lot of organizations in order to get my name out there as far as an attorney goes. And so that wasn't through any family or personal contact. That was just participating and being involved in associations and in groups that helped me to get my name out there and to start to meet some different people.
Okay, can you repeat that again, please, for the adults who are listening and also for the children? Because one of our 10 categories as a mastermind organization is civic involvement. And I think that you really, really hit the nail on the head in discussing the you know, how vital the network is in civic and professional associations, because oftentimes we wonder why our business is not growing and why we don't have access and contacts to turn into contracts. And largely it's because we don't get involved in that civic way outside of our church.
It is key. I mean, it is key because that is, as you know, one of the things the lawyer is required to do, not so much for me now because I'm in-house, but in private practice, is I have to get clients. And, you know, quite honestly, when I started out, one had nothing to do with the other. My civic involvement was just something I did because I wanted to do it. I had not correlated the fact that at some point in my law career, that's going to help me get to know other people who know other people and bring me clients. But it is important for your professional development, especially in the job market that we are now, in which we're now involved. You have to network, and one way to do that, you might as well do kill two birds with one stone, is network and also give something back civically. And so there, you know, there's different outlets for doing that. The Boys and Girls Club. I mean, I've been with the Urban League, Young Professionals of the Urban League. I've been on the Chamber of Commerce. There's a number of different ways of doing it, where you give back, but you also develop yourself professionally at the same time.
Right. I think actually the first time I met you was at a civic organization. I think it was the League of Cities luncheon.
Yes, it was. That's
yes,
true. And also, you met me before that, Ms. McNeil. Both of us were on the
League of Cities
the board.
Yes.
Right. So
yes.
That, and as well as Florida Memorial University, you recall that I was on the foundation board, and you are on the board. So that is another
true.
Way that I, yes.
But and now each one of those are all civic organizations.
Yes, they are.
Each one of those are civic organizations, and like I said, it's a part of what we do. In the International Mastermind Association, we set goals in 10 different areas of our lives, and that
mm-hmm.
would include spiritual, family, financial, education, health, personal, business, recreation, civic, creativity, and I am missing one, Betty. I'm not sure which one I'm missing, but that civic one definitely relates directly to our profitability in our business. And oftentimes, and you hit the nail on the head, we don't make the correlation until later. But if you think about it with the intention, then you say, okay, well, what kind of business am I in? What's the professional association for that industry?
Right.
And do I give it my time, my talent, and or my treasure?
That, and also expand it beyond that, because if for example, I'm in the ones that are in my industry as well. I'm involved in those organizations, but everybody in that organization is a lawyer. So if it's about you trying to use that as a platform to expand your business, that's more difficult because everybody in that organization is a lawyer. So what I generally advise is you do something that doesn't necessarily involve your career. For example, the Urban League, the NLACP, things of that nature, all these different types of groups that maybe there are other professionals that comprise the group, so that then they may need a lawyer or they may know someone that needs a lawyer. They may be a dentist. I mean, it's a way to exchange in the marketplace by using these professional associations.
Okay, thank you. That was my last question. Thank you.
Okay.
We have a caller with a question. 0342. You can ask a question.
My name is Atasha, and I'm calling from Columbus, Georgia. And I was just wondering if you had any advice for the young ladies here in Columbus, Georgia, who might think that being an attorney is a little overwhelming. I had one comment from a young lady that thought, oh, well, no, I'm just going to go to school for business. It was almost like being an attorney was a bit too much or a bit too overwhelming for her. Is there any advice that you have them so that I could relate that to them to say that they can do it, or any highlights that you think is fantastic as being an attorney?
Oh, I think that is an excellent question. And it's funny because I was talking to a friend of mine about how our children so often don't they don't see how getting from point A to point B because they don't think that they can. And what I would say to her is that my circumstance probably was not much more different than hers. I mean, I came from a middle class situation, but not, it wasn't always middle class. And what your job is going to have to be is to show them examples of people in their situation that did different things, whether it be an attorney or not. And, you know, having somebody, the practical part, seeing a living and breathing attorney or whatever it is that they want to be sometimes can have an impact. And that's one of the things I try to do is go out to visit schools and things whenever I can. Talk to kids to say, here I am, I'm living and breathing, I'm just like you, I go to church, I do this, I do that. And then oftentimes once they see somebody that's like them that is actually doing it, then they can envision themselves being able to do it as well.
Okay, I think I'm glad you said that because I didn't think about that. That is fantastic. It's a fantastic idea, and I think that's probably why, because we don't have lots of young, energetic women such as yourself in that field around
mm-hmm.
them to show them that they can do it. So I think it's more so people coming out to show them that they can do it, not seeing that role model here in Columbus, Georgia.
That's true.
But
and
thank
I'm sure
you
that there
so
are
much
some.
For that advice. That is something I'm going to relay back to them. I thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
I'm 3677, the last 4 digits. You can ask your question now.
Well, thank you for allowing me on the call. My name is Angela Williams. I'm actually a masterminder myself. I love what your guest said about going back to the school and allowing, students to see her. She's a lawyer. She's been to college. She did the bar. She's successful, but it didn't come without a price. She had to work hard. And the caller who called in from Columbus, there's a book called The Story Behind the Story, and I'm not suggesting you go read the book, but what it's about is what she just said is we see where people are now, but we sometimes need people to share their story with our youth and with the younger generation so they can know that even though right now it looks like, you know, we got it going on and we're doing so well, but they need to know that, and not the Martin Luther Kings or the Malcolm X's or the Rosa Parks. They need somebody right now living in the flesh that they can really relate to. So I want to commend your guest today for going back and giving to the community, especially young people, especially since I love girls. I'll put that shout out there, you know, letting girls see a female African-American lawyer so that they can be encouraged and inspired that they can do great things because greatness lies within us. Someone has to motivate us and inspire us that we too can make it. So I'm just so happy to hear you say that. I've been listening to the call only for about 20 minutes, I guess. That's, you know, just like the perfect thing to say is because they need a flesh role model, as I like to tell the girls, somebody living and breathing in the flesh that they can really, really relate to. So thank you for doing that and giving back to the community. My daughter is a graduate of Grambling State University. She went to HBCU, loves it, and doing her her master's at University of Phoenix. So definitely product and love those HBCUs. So I just give an HBCU shout out. I just wanted to give that comment. And to our little host, you're doing a marvelous job today.
Yes, she is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
2191. You can ask your question now.
This is Kayla Scott from the last 2 calls ago.
Do you have a question?
No, ma'am. Miss Anne sent me to the call.
Okay. So you don't have a question?
No, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Well, 9492. Do you have a question?
9492.
Go on to the next person.
Okay. Anybody else with a question? Well, that seems to be the end of our questions. So, on behalf of the Youth Mastermind, we would like to thank Mrs. Dickens for being with us on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by International Mastermind Association. This is our last Blog Talk of the year, so until the next Blog Talk, I would like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's.
And I would like to say thank you for having me. It was enjoyable, and if I could be of assistance in the future, please let me know.
Thank you. We wish you the best of luck and very great success.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We need the best of luck for your call today.
Get over. I told you the clock. What do you eat for?
Don't do a snack thing.